Heyo, what is up? Well, I'm the guest host for my daughter, Sadie. It's amazing the pressure that I feel having to like live up to this. It's a different audience. And, you know, when I think about being a substitute, it always bumps me out because I'm like, have you ever gone to something where you're like, for me, it's like a church. Like I went to this church one time. It was way away from where I live, and I was so excited about hearing the speaker. And then they get up and say, we have a guest speaker. And I'm like, oh, rats. This is hot. Oh, I can't believe it. You know, what terrible luck. What was interesting was, and the guest speaker happened to be Levi Lusco. So then it was amazing. So that, I was like, oh, wow. So I got to hear him as a speaker. So hopefully today you're not like bummed out. If you know, Sadie has done a lot of these. She has had a child and she's stepping out. And so her old man is coming out of the woods to step in and fill in for her. And I hope you enjoy it because we got a crazy guest today. I mean, we are one and the same in a lot of ways. So hopefully I don't screw this up. All right, people, I'm so pumped about this. As the fill-in guest host for Sadie, Rob Huff, I get to interview one of the coolest people that I know. I'm happy to know this person. He fits all my buckets. He goes by one name, just his last. He's kind of weird. I'm into that. He's got a really unique, cool look that I used to have, so I'm a little jealous. He's unbelievable with music, which I'm not, which so I want to actually secretly be him. And he is a believer in Jesus Christ. Welcome, Crowder.
I see you got my publicist introductive memo. That's good.
Was that a good intro?
It was pretty great.
Are you happy with that?
It was pretty great. Yeah.
Did I leave anything out?
The word handsome. I thought we had the word handsome in there, but I think you're self referencing made it apparent. You know,
Crowder, like I live by a certain code. I never call another man handsome. Okay, that's just me. I just can't do it. I'm uncomfortable with that.
Really?
But I think you're, looking at you with the beard and the hair, I had to clean that up. You know, it was a COVID moment. It was like the summer. I felt like I'd been staring at myself for a long time, and I said, you know what? I'm fixed to just make a move here. Right, I'm fixed to make a move. And whack the hair off. And it gets a little tiresome.
I haven't noticed that part of it. I really haven't.
I'm
not very in touch with my body. I guess I'm kind of not aware of my surroundings even most of the time.
So you don't care.
I don't know.
You just could care less. It's not a look
really
for you. It's just like, this is how little I care about how I look.
Right. I don't think I could care less.
Okay.
This is as far as not caring as you could get.
But do you
see,
feel
the thing
like
is
you're
efficiency? It's all efficiency, man. And you know, that's the thing I'm thinking about all the time. You know how it is. We're saving so much time. Once you got cleaned up, you're like, man, this is a timely endeavor. Like you got to spend some time. You got to think about what you're doing in the morning. Let's just roll out of bed. Find a hat that's not. Doesn't smell bad, you know? It's like, which one doesn't smell? Which one smells the least bad? And then you put that on.
But do you feel like now that you're maybe trapped, are you trapped in the look?
No, man. And also, you know, if I had underneath here what you have, then I probably would be more interested in participating along with the rest of folks, you know, in terms of self-care and you know, but this is for everybody. What I'm doing is for everybody. You know,
well,
it's better this way.
Well, I love it, and I'm so glad you're on the show. We haven't spoken in a while, and we've hung out a little bit. What did we do that time? Did we do cornhole game or something?
We did it. We did have a corn. It was pretty heated, and I lost. So I kind of don't think about that time together as much. We had, I think the last time we were together, we had steaks. We ate steaks. And I was a lot better at that than I was at cornhole.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I ate the crap out of that steak, man.
We have hung out a little bit, and there's so much that I want to talk to you about. I do want to talk about this new album, and I don't want to miss the moment of this because I think it's so great. Milk and Honey.
Hey, how appropriate and familial is that? I mean, you know, you got a new baby girl named Honey.
Oh, I mean, there's so many things here.
The album ain't as good as that. I'll tell you that. It's a letdown. It's a letdown comparatively.
Well, I love this album. I love the music. Milk and Honey is unbelievable. I think it's so appropriate at the time. I mean, if it were perhaps affordable, I would just bathe in Milk and Honey every day.
Man, the dude that helps me with my social medias is like, hey, bro, we got to get some TikTok stuff going, you know, like just people, you know, I need you just pour some Milk and Honey on you and it'll go viral. I'm like, bro, first of all, no. And second of all, that sounds, I had the same thought. I'm like, that sounds like a really expensive endeavor. You know, like, I don't have like bees in the backyard. I'm just going to go scoop some up, but that's going to be pricey. You know, that's why I think we named it that. This is like luxury. It's luxurious. Land of Promise is luxurious.
Well, maybe we should start that where everybody gets in their bathtub and fills it with milk and honey. And see, it's like a challenge, you know?
That's what he was going for. I'm like, I don't know how, I don't have a bathtub that small that I could get in. I can't afford that much milk. You know what I mean? My dad, hey, you'd appreciate this. You'd appreciate this. My dad, man, would buy milk on sale. And as kids early on, we're like, I think it's on sale because it's like, you know, done today. Like, this is the last day. It's okay. And he just stick them in a deep freeze, though. He'd just scoop them all up. He'd scoop them all up, throw them all in the deep freeze. Man, bro,
and
you don't understand. Freezes the milk? And you don't understand. It like thaws at different consistencies. There'd be like, you know, super watery milk at the top. It gets a little thicker at the bottom. But you'd have to shake it up before you put it on the cereal. It was tough. It was tough growing up. Yeah, and you can't trust the date no more, you know, because it's already gone. It's like, right, that was last month, and you just hope that that was, you know, one of the ones we just rotated into the fridge. Yeah. Now, that milk I could get in a bathtub with. That's my point. If I would have been stocking up on the milk like Papa Crowder was, I could be doing this TikTok challenge just fine. Yeah.
So you guys drank milk that had been frozen. That sounds disgusting.
It was. We didn't know.
You didn't know any better.
It's like, that's what you do.
Where was this at? What town are you in when this was
Texarkana, Texas. The Texas side of things.
Well, now that says a lot. Yeah. That's so interesting. Texarkana, Texas, because I was super familiar with Texarkana, Arkansas.
Rarely did you step over the line.
Well,
you know?
I didn't even think about that. There was another whole little mirror city over on the other side.
It feels incredibly more spacious on the Texas side of things. A lot bigger over there. Well, everything is
that's where
monstrous.
My folks are from as well. They're from that same little area just south of y'all in Louisiana.
Texarkana, the Arklatex, man. Yeah. Texarkana was on the water tower coming in. It tells everything you need. And it's twice as nice. It's twice as nice. You could stand right there on the state line at the post office. They had like a little strip of paint on the cement there with a little iron sign cut out in the state of Arkansas shape and then Texas, and you could put your foot on either side and be like
both sides, two states, one time.
Oh, this is twice as nice. It just feels twice.
When's the
as
last
nice.
Time you were back in Texarkana, Texas?
Man, every holiday season we're back around.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Stay at my folks' house. We got like still on the same property that we had when I was a kid growing up, so it's fun.
Do you drive? Are you making that drive from Atlanta there?
No.
You told me one time you stopped driving. You said you only did. Are you still doing that?
Oh man, I sold my Atlanta ruined me. I used to love to drive, man. It's traffic. I wasn't used to traffic, and it's just broken me. It broke me.
Are you still doing Ubers and stuff?
Oh yeah, because it's just like park. They call it like Interstate 75. Interstate 85. Like, those are just parking lots and straight lines is all they are. They're not, you're not going anywhere. You're just sitting yeah. in a parking lot. And I mean, I really, it was about a month. I was like, I'm done with this. I had friends that were like, hey, man, let's go to lunch. Chris Tomlin, he's another dude that does, like, church music. And he lived in Atlanta. So it's like, hey, man, I'm so excited about you moving to Atlanta. We can go hang out, you know, get food together and stuff. And he's like, come up, let's get some barbecue. I got a great barbecue spot I want you to try out. And so I start driving. And, you know, an hour and a half later, I'm like, this is not Atlanta. Like, he lives in Johns Creek. It's a little suburb, he says. I'm like, that's like driving to Tennessee. That's like half my day. I turned around and went home. I'm like, this is people. Atlanta's huge. It's huge. In Waco and in Texas. I lived in Waco forever. Texarkana, you get anywhere in 10, 15 minutes. Like, you know, oh, they live outside of town. It's a 10-minute drive. You yeah. know, it's like, no, Atlanta's too big. So I just gave up. I sold my car. And I'm like, I'm going to have somebody drive me around. Uber X.
Yeah, it's miserable. I just drove to the Masters. So I had to go through Atlanta. It's oh, miserable. Yeah. It's miserable.
Yeah, you should have just gone around. Yeah.
Well, I'm just the thing's telling me this is the way to go. And
it's
so,
yeah. You trust it.
I
could, trust the robots.
I just don't think I could do it. I couldn't do
I
that.
I couldn't. But man, I tell you what, it feels. Speaking of luxury, it feels amazing. Have somebody drive you around. You're on your phone. You don't have
you
to pay attention
kind of big
to the
time.
Road.
Yeah, you're like.
Oh yeah.
You
know, Uber X. You know, the only thing you got to like ask. You know, whose sandwich that is, yeah. bag, or like whose bag of chips you figure on, you know, that kind of deal. But it's good for conversation, you know. It's like hey, bro.
Yeah, I like it when there are children in the car, too. Like, I love yeah. that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mom or dad's got to work all day. They're just sitting over in the seat.
Dude, one time, I'm not kidding you. I got picked up by this gal who was moving. She was moving. And like her whole situation was in the car. I'm like sitting on a box and I'm like, whoa, what's this? And she's like, oh, that's my dog. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, oh,
your dog was in this box that I'm sitting on. Sorry about that. I'm not kidding, ma'am. Oh. I was having her run me back to the house and I couldn't do it. I lied to her and told her I was going to the grocery store. If she just let me out here, I'd be fine. I had to pick up a few things. I had to cut that one short. Yeah,
that's outstanding. No, I've had some moments like that. What did you learn about yourself over COVID?
That you can use the power washer too much. I didn't think you could, but yeah. A pressurized washer can be overused. I did learn that. We started at the start of COVID, we had a concrete drive, and it's now, we're past the aggregate. It's turning into gravel. So my wife's like, she's upset about that. So I learned that I can be a little OCD when it comes to a clean driveway.
Yeah.
We're turning it into a gravel drive quickly.
So were you able to do any music? I mean, that's pretty much your business,
I was,
right? Just traveling.
I tried, yeah. And I travel all the time with it. And usually, most of the time I'm cutting an album, I'm on the road. So it was weird I tried to resist it for a while. I knew all my friends, you know, that make music, first thing they're going to do with a little time is start making music. I'm like, they're going to flood the market. I'm going to sit back and wait.
Yeah.
I thought I was being real clever with it. But boy, I think part of it is we started with, hey, man, you got to go home. Everybody, you can't be traveling. COVID's hit and lockdown's happening. And I thought it was going to be like for the weekend or something, you know. Then it was like, maybe it's just the next, maybe it's 14 days to flatten the curve, you know. Yeah. A year and a half later, I'm like, I guess I should start like doing some work. Maybe I should get to recording an album. So I did. We started making music and wound up with an album at the end of things. And so it's going to come out here a little bit.
And we're going to talk more about that album. And you're heading to you're going to be touring this fall, huh?
Not till the fall. So summertime usually is packed. I love summer because it's all festivals and fairs, you know.
Yeah.
And man, that scene's great because every one of those things have corn dogs. I'm not lying to you. I love that season. Every summer, it's like I get to go rate corn dogs. You know that dude Barstool, he's got the pizza thing.
Yeah,
I'm into the summer corn dog thing. It's tough to get like
you're
the perfect
corn dog.
Man. It's the perfect thing you're just walking around eating. You know, it's like it's great. It's efficient food. It's a good. But it's tough to get the perfect corn dog. It really is. Sometimes there's a little.
Where's a spot where you've gotten one where you're like, that's it. Like that's what makes a good corn dog. Where's that spot been?
Well, it was a state of Idaho fair.
Oh.
Idaho State Fair. Boy, I tell you what, it was a great day. One, they have what's known as the butter cow, and that's a cow that's full size. It's like a statue of a cow that's full size heifer, but it's carved out of butter. So if you can go, no, picture this. You're staring at a butter cow eating what may be the perfect corn dog, and it's tough to beat a day like that. So Idaho State Fair is where you can go do that.
I actually wrote that down because I'm going to I go to now Idaho. I've been to Idaho, but I'm going to find out more about this state fair and this corn dog.
Hit that state fair. Yeah, hit that state fair. And boy, eating that thing with the right yellow mustard, you know, if they get that right yellow mustard, staring at a butter cow, it's pretty perfect.
I'm kind of like that perfect about cheese sticks. I'm a connoisseur of cheese sticks.
Cheese sticks are not to be they're a lot of time overlooked. And man, that perfect cheese stick, right crunch, right. The good ones have a little bit of space because the cheese got hot and there's a little air pocket in there. And then you bite it and that oil runs out just a little bit. But when it's not too hot, doesn't burn the tongue. You still keep eating. Woo! It's tough to beat that too.
I've ordered cheese sticks. I was in Vegas one time at a really fancy restaurant and I asked them, did they have cheese sticks? And everybody laughs, you know, like it was a joke.
Yeah.
And so I thought, yeah, it was my little joke. And she comes back out. She told the chef, and he made me on the spot cheese sticks and said he had never made them before, and they were unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty brilliant.
So you could try that with a corn dog.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if probably most. You know, high-end establishments are sitting around with a bit of cheese and some flour and egg and whatnot. I don't know if everybody's sitting around with a brat or a wiener dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's
y'all got any Oscar Mayer back there? Just whip me up a corn dog.
What's the cooking situation around your household? Are y'all cooking or are you eating out all the time? Or
man, I tell you, I see you on that internet machine making all manner of goodness, and I thought that was one of the things I wanted to get good at. I wanted to get great at this over the season at the house. You know, I was like, I have it. Me and my wife eat like 5-year-olds, both of us. Like our favorite meals, like Kraft mac and cheese and some good frozen fish sticks. And we're in heaven. And I'm like, hey, we got time. Let's learn to cook. And so, you know, we like Indian food. And I was like, hey, let's figure out how to make Tony's favorite is a la gobi. And I'm like, and it's just basically potatoes and some cauliflower and some spices. I'm like, we got this. They call it a curry, whatever. It's just a sauce, you know. Man, we gave up. We're not cooks. It's like some people can't keep plants alive. We can't keep ourselves alive if left to cook. We can heat. We are great heaters up of things. That's what we are. We can heat you up something. But, man, we can't cook. Neither of us. We're terrible.
You're too skinny. That's the problem. See, I'm always like on the verge of like being morbidly obese. So it's like, I'm wanting good food. And so I'm having just constantly, you know, cause I know how to do it. Once you know how to make food taste really good, it can create other problems.
Cause
you want to eat it all the time. Right. And so that's the problem I have, but yeah.
Cause you can make it exactly like you want it. You know, you don't have to go into that situation where, you know, you know, as a hunter, you'd appreciate, you always go back to where you know the good stuff is. But when you go into a restaurant, you don't know. So a lot of times that's a risky move, you know, unless it's someplace you know and you're comfortable with. Or that's why people love chain stuff. You know, chain restaurants are great because you know what you're getting into, you know. A Big Mac in Arizona is going to taste like one in Tokyo. You know, it's going to be, you know what you get into.
There is a little difference, though. I've eaten some, like a rat, like,
I made that up. Assumed.
But when you said that, because I
assumed.
I ate one in Japan. I ate one in maybe Germany. And I was like, oh, this is it's a little different flavor. I don't know.
Really?
So here's the difference.
See, I didn't know
here's the difference in me and you, though. I'm eating that corn dog at the Idaho State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming home, and I'm going to try to duplicate exactly what I ate.
Yeah, no chance for me. I could, that's not in my no skill set. I don't have that. I got that. I don't got that. But see, that's what I'm saying. You can replicate. You can make what you want. I can see how that'd be a problem. If you could make what you want to eat all the time, then you would just be, I'd just be eating all the time too.
Right, yeah.
I do that all the time.
But I love the whole process. Like I'm at the store, I'm picking up everything, I'm looking at it. In fact, I'm going to like probably three different stores, especially during COVID, was like, because I wanted this produce, but this store has the best of this. And then,
That's awesome.
Yeah, so during COVID, I would ask my kids, like, okay, let's say we're at a restaurant.
Yeah.
What would you want it? What would you order? And then I go duplicate, you know, figure out if I can do that better. Because typically I can make it better than a restaurant because they're having to do it in mass quantities.
Right.
And if you're doing it just for like six or seven people.
Got a one-off.
You can do it. Yeah. Don't even get me started about food.
Well, see, that's what I'm deceptive in. I eat all the time. Just whatever this metabolism is. So it's got to be a constant. It's got to be a constant deal. I probably don't have time. I don't have time to run around town and go to get this or that and then spend, you know, three. I gotta be eating quick.
Yeah, blessed. You're blessed with that. I was watching the video for Good God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable. You had the white suit on.
Yeah.
As soon as it comes on, you know what I thought? I said, this is the Christian version of Billy Gibbons, the lead singer of ZZ Top.
I will take
Top.
That. Oh, man. That's good company.
Have you
right
met
there.
Billy Gibbons?
I've never met Billy
you
Gibbons.
You are both
no.
from Texas. You look similar.
Never met. Yeah, I'm the biggest fan ever, too, man. I'm
Well, maybe I can try
huge.
To set that up. You know, they did the opener for our TV show.
If that's in your purview, I'd love to be on that list of I need
a
to get
couple
Crowder
years
in.
Ago, I got invited to their, now get this, 50th year in music and 70th birthday. How cool
that's
is that?
That's a pretty, that's longevity is what they call that.
And I just sat around and listened to stories. And I remember I got on a plane one time. I was going to Los Angeles. I think when Sadie was on Dancing with the Stars. And I think it went through Houston. And I look on the – and now, normally in first class at the time, I always had the strongest beard representation of any man there.
Right, yeah.
I look back, and there's Billy Gibbons sitting right behind me. And I said, Billy, you got me. You like, and we sat – we actually went up where the stewardess hang out, and we just taught the whole time. And, I mean, it's amazing – even at his age, how his brain was just, he had ideas and he wanted to do these festivals. And he was, I mean, just like on it. Oh, he was on a TV show, I think. He had a little recurring role on a TV show, maybe in Bones. Uh-huh. And, but he was flying out to film that. But yeah, just a super. In fact, when we were at their birthday parties, they were heading out like doing Europe for 2 months, you know, still playing. And
that's unreal, man. I love
isn't that.
That
cool?
That's
yeah,
crazy. That's great,
just,
dude.
Yeah.
Getting to do what you love for that long is pretty. Miraculous. That's incredible.
But
love to hear that.
That Good God Almighty, that video reminded me. I said, man, this is what a cool sound. That's just that's why, because I like growing up, my father, we just listened to rock and roll. That was it, which is now classic rock and roll. We didn't listen to country. We didn't hated Christian music because it was like when you listen to Christian music at the time, it was like all these genres together on a station. So you may have something super slow, and then you may have a rap song, and then you may. But I was like, and you rarely heard that kind of rock sound. But you kind of have that bluesy rock in with Christian lyrics, which I think is amazing.
It's a pretty diverse little get together what we got going on. Because especially once, when I got to Atlanta, I kind of got into the hip hop scene because you can't. I mean,
it's
a bunch of my peer sets. That's and a bunch of my peers that I got into with. They're all rappers, and so that low end, that bottom end, it's got to live right next to a banjo. That's been a blast to try to figure out how you can have some of that urban, you know, foundational rhythm elements section. The rhythm section's really just coming out of a old school 808. You know, drum machine and then you got the banjo sitting on top of it. So that's been fun to try to get that folkish Appalachian sound on top of what I feel like is a little more current and more pop now, you know, it's just pop music.
I love it. And I think I read we're the same age, actually. I don't know if you were aware of that, but
I had no idea.
We're the same
How
age.
How old are we?
49.
My goodness. I thought I was already 50-something. That's great.
Are you 49?
I was born 71. So the math's hard.
You're 49. Okay. I was born in 72, but we're in that.
All right.
So growing November. Up, what kind of music did you listen to when you were young?
It was mostly all the Highwaymen, because you're forced to listen to what your parents, what your parents have on. So it was, Willie and Waylon and the gang. But Willie was always one of the top plays. And then Elvis, my dad was super into Elvis, and a big Gaither vocal band.
Really?
Like Bill and Gloria Gaither. Yeah, that was the church side of things, the religious music. And then, bizarrely, Olivia Newton-John was in heavy rotation. So I tell people all the time, that's everything I do in music is Willie, Elvis, the Gaithers, and Olivia Newton-John. That's my whole scene right there. And it's all my parents' fault.
What's your favorite? Physical? Is that your favorite song?
that was definitely right up there. Oh, man.
Sadie's listeners right now are going, what are they like?
I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know who Olivia is. Greece. They probably know her from Greece. Everybody watches that a lot.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because like I said, we listened to rock and roll, and we didn't listen to a lot of Christian. And then really for me, it was a few years back when I really got into to Christian music, especially worship music, and I didn't know anybody. It was so embarrassing because our show's out and they're like, oh, you've heard of this person.
Y'all are Christians, y'all probably know these people.
We just didn't listen to, we didn't do that. That wasn't our scene. And so for me, it's like a whole new thing. So of all the places you played, give me one that's in the top three. I want you that way if you leave one out. Just give me one that's in the top three coolest moments you've had up on the stage. Or
I have to tell you this first about the music thing. So my parents, though, at some point, probably around age 10 or so, suddenly banned secular music, quote unquote secular music, from the house. And so it was only Christian stuff. And we didn't understand it as kids. It's like suddenly the stuff that we had playing in the house all the time, it wasn't okay. And one of my shining moments as an adolescent there was when I convinced my dad that Queen was a Christian band. I had him convinced, and so he was our soccer coach, and one of the songs was another one, Bites the Dust, and it became our anthem. He's the coach, and it was like our warm up song, our practice song. He had the little jam box out on the field, cranking another one, Bites the Dust. We go to the pizza parlor after a game, after a win, we'd be there. He'd go to the jukebox, pull up another, dial up another one, Bites the Dust, or We Are the Champions. It's like, this is our deal. If we lose, he'd pump us back up, play that thing. Well, we're one Sunday night, this traveling evangelist comes through, speaking the ills of secular music and how it's warping the minds of the young children today. And as example, especially this backward masking, where they hide these messages for you. And as an example, first song out of the gate is another one, Bites the Dust by Queen. Oh, and I'm sitting right next to my dad. And boy, I felt the fury. He had this big class ring. I saw him turn the ring around, so that and then pop in the back of the head. Man, I never prayed so hard in my life that evangelist would just not stop talking, or Jesus would come back or something, get me out of this.
That is amazing.
I got busted in church, and so it was out.
That is amazing.
I'd say probably top city. I know I was talking about McDonald's earlier. I know I've had a burger from there, but Tokyo is freaking amazing. I love that city. Yeah. That city is crazy. Playing there was a mind blow.
Wow.
In the States, as far as playing goes, one of my favorites was in San Francisco. We played at this club that super – it's like a rock club, Jimi Hendrix and all. Every rock and roll band ever has played there at the Fillmore, and that was probably a highlight, getting to be in a room where so much music's happened that shaped me as a musician. And there's this guy working there, one of the bouncers was called Dirty Dave, and he'd been there all day, and watching our comings and goings. And at the end of the night, I was going to go grab my stuff from this tiny little green room they have there. It's kind of in the middle of everybody anyway. It's not really a green room hardly, but I left my stuff in there, and I'm going to go past him to grab my stuff, and he grabs me by the arm, and he looks mad. And I'm like, oh, crap, I've pissed Dirty Dave off. And he looks at me and goes, boy, I've been here for as long as I can. I've been here for so long, and I hear music happening here every night. I don't know what that was. Something happened in this room. Man, you made me cry. I don't understand why I was crying.
Oh, wow.
I ain't cried since my mom died, and I don't understand what that was. Can you tell me what that was? I'm like, man, I think that was called the Holy Spirit, bro.
Yeah.
And we got to talk, and I think that was probably one of my favorite nights, just seeing, I guess being in a place that you think is legendary,
yeah,
and seeing that the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, that what we're doing, the air really does shift. Seeing that there's something even more legendary than some of my music heroes was pretty spectacular. It was pretty cool.
That's good. I love that. I have to ask you this. What is the best advice you have ever received?
Well, in terms of music, tune your guitar. So I laughed probably about like that, and then it turned into like a life metaphor for me, like a life lesson. What the guy was telling me, I was early on when I was trying to figure out what I was doing. I was helping out with this church, kind of how I got into this whole deal. I was just trying to help out with this church, and didn't have a clue what I'm doing. I still feel like I don't have hardly a clue what I'm doing, but then I really did. And I'm asking everybody I know that does it, like, hey, man, tell me what I need to be. Tell me something. And they said, tune your guitar. He said, there's a lot you can't control. Like when you get up on stage and start playing music, there's a lot that's out of your control. And what you need to do is do all the work to make sure that your stuff's taken care of. Mm-hmm. You can tune your guitar. You can look down there, take the time, make sure your strings are stretched out, and that you're going to be like, do what you can do, and then open your hands up and let God do whatever He wants to do. And man, that's been it for me, is do the little stuff that you know you can take care of, and then trust the rest. It's outside of your purview. Don't worry about it.
That is amazing advice. Wow. Now, Louis G tells me that you're actually an evangelist.
Well,
is there truth to that? Because I'm kind of into evangelism, so
it's gonna. Well, that I think Jesus is pretty spectacular. It's a better way to go about living. It tends to come up if you're around me. So, in that sense, yes, I certainly am. I get you kind of peg me pretty quickly, but I love. I feel like my experience growing up, getting to see a lot of sides of the church, understand the diverse nature of how the story of the gospel can be told. I enjoy talking to people about it, and just, first of all, I like people. I think people are funnier than anybody. That's what I like to say. It's like, I just like people. And when you get to know people and start talking to people, stuff's going to come up when it's as significant and life altering as our faith is. And so I think that's what leads that.
Yeah. Here's my theory. Cause I think we're alike on a lot of things. Cause you like to remodel stuff. You guys like to do that. I think it's that there's a project nature about us. I know it is about me. I love a project. And so a person oftentimes becomes a project, and I'm like, oh, and I'm trying to think, like Paul says, Paul was still praying that the mystery of the gospel would come out of his mouth. And no one knew the gospel better than Paul. Why is he still praying that he can? Because he knew there's some people, you know, it's not science. It's not like, it's more art, because you can say the same thing to two different people. One person can fall to their knees and one person can walk away. Like the rich ruler walks away from Jesus. He had the same offer that Peter did. Peter took it, and we know who he is.
Totally.
And sadly, all we know about that guy was what held him back, was he was rich and young and a ruler. And
that's amazing.
And so he was forever known as that. And we don't even know his name. But I think it's that project.
Good.
You know, I love projects. And so, and I'm like, oh, I can see something, you know, I can see something in a structure. I can see something in a person even that they may not even can see. And I think Jesus did that as well. He sees these guys who look, you know, I mean, let's face it, they were a ragtag bunch, but but I love that too, and I love taking on people And it's outside of church and all that. Just to wrap it up here, what drives you crazy about aspects of religion or people? What do you see that you go, man, come on?
Piety, man, piety. I think it's you know, the only people Jesus didn't really give us an example of how to love were church people. You know? All he did was pick on the Pharisees and Sadducees, and these are dudes that gave their whole existence was wrapped up in trying to follow the you know, laws of Moses and tell everybody about how to be back in communion with God.
Yeah.
Like that's what they gave their life to. And yet somehow they got it so wrong. And boy, he just destroyed them every time he's around them. It's like, Jesus, he showed us how to love the poor, those on the outside,
Right.
But man, if they're frustrating to him, I think I'm okay to be a little frustrated at times.
But
I feel like it's piety, man. As soon as we think we got things figured out and that we got a leg up, that's when we don't really have a voice anymore.
It's always backwards. It's always we always got to get lower and stay humble. Well,
that's it.
Crowder, this has been amazing. Milk and Honey is the new album. I absolutely love it. And thank you so much for putting this out, putting this together. And, you know, it just encourages me. I can't wait to hear. Hopefully I can catch up down the road and see you on with the tour. I know everybody's ready to get out and just do something together and kind of like how we used to do it. But thank you so much. It's just been a thrill talking. You are a bright light, my friend, and I'm so glad to know you.
Dude, back at y'all, and congratulations on so much wonderful things going on in the family there. It's just it's amazing to watch from a distance and get to be up close to it occasionally. So blessings on you guys. I know it's a good season of life for y'all, and couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you, buddy.
Awesome, man.